If you have your Bibles, you may want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm interested, how many of y'all still use a paper copy of Scripture? How many of you use digital altogether? Okay. All right. When I was growing up, at periodic times in our church, we would have the table in front set. And it was a beautiful white cloth that covered it. And there was a stack of these exquisite trays. And then there was other trays that were around. And we knew we were going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, have communion that day. Had the little tiny bits of bread and a little cup. And everyone would have their own one. I think I got part of that. I think I understood part of it, but I was in my 40s. Thank you, Danny. I was in my 40s before I think I really started catching on to what the heart of communion was all about. And it's the title of this message today. Let a man examine himself. In fact, we read that one verse of Scripture from 1 Corinthians 11:28. Where it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. I encourage you to go back and read the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, get all the teaching that the Lord has for you in that today. I hope you'll do that. Let's pray right now and ask the Spirit of God to speak to us right now. Lord, thank you for all that you have done in our lives this past week. As we come on this first day of this new week, we ask you, Lord, that you would reveal yourself. Let us hear your voice. Lord, we're not here by accident. We're here by divine design. I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Could have been doing a lot of other things this morning, but I'd like to believe, because you believe that the Scripture in Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, that you have come to this time. In a few moments, we're going to come to the Lord's table. But first, we need to examine ourselves. Isaiah, the first chapter, verse 18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. So my prayer that I just prayed for us is we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come and to speak to us in these moments and speak to us individually before we come to the table. I have a few questions to ask you. In fact, three. Are you divided? Paul says in that teaching in chapter 11, he said, I hear that there are divisions among you. And there are three parts to that division question. Are you divided from somebody else? Family member? Friend? Work associate? Is there division there? Are you, secondly, divided from yourself? Are you split and trying to go in two different directions? And third, are you divided from God? Has something come in between you and the Lord? Some little thing? You may be rocking along with the religion stuff, but how about the heart stuff? Are you divided? Second question. Are you self-centered? You see, the whole heart of communion, coming to the Lord's table, is that it's not about us, is it? Not about you, not about me, it's about Him. And what He has done for us. For we celebrate through the broken bread and the poured out wine, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. God coming into flesh and taking our place on the cross. And the good news is He didn't stay dead. He rose on the third day. And we have victory and He's coming again. But the question, are you self-centered? Let me tell you, I can assure you of a life of misery if you're self-centered, because you'll never reach your divine design, all the one who created you all that He has for you, if that's you. Number three, for whose purpose do you live? And again, back to communion. Communion was kind of I believe God put it in the mix. It's one of the two things we were commanded to do as kind of ordinances of the church. We were commanded to baptize, and we're commanded to come to His table together. So, it's pretty important. When I was a kid, I don't know, I had communion set as this kind of high church thing, because it always seemed like it was so mystical that nobody understood what it was about. You're supposed to do it, and we talked about the body and blood of Jesus, but I never, and this is on me, I never quite made that connection of how that concerns me. I was happy about all that Jesus had done, but what does that mean to me now? For whose purpose do you live? Now enter my testimony of this past week. How many of you were here last Sunday? How many of you did the Lord bust with Pastor Dane's message? Okay? Well, he didn't get done with me. I was sitting right back over there in the corner, and we talked about all this message. I knew what message was going to be, didn't know all the details, knew what it was going to be, but I'm sitting there, and I'm, man, Spirit of God's doing a tap dance on my toes. I am, this is uncomfortable. That afternoon, went on with it. Lord, you've already dealt with me earlier, a few days ago. No, I got some more to say to you. And this went on the rest of the day. So the next day I had an appointment. Had an appointment downtown with an old friend. He and his wife, they just wanted to talk. And I was I was riding down there. I'd left another meeting. I was riding downtown, riding down the street here in the city. Going to try to kind of shield some of these details because I don't want to, this isn't about making somebody else mad. It's about what God did in my life. So, I'm going through all the stuff that I'm thinking, Lord, what do you want me to say to them? They've come here and I've got to be your instrument in their lives. I'm praying about, that sounds like good stuff, doesn't it? That sounds like what a pastor ought to be doing, right? Don't you think? They ought to pray about what he's doing. So I'm headed down Bull Street, and I mean, it was just like, bam, lightning bolt. I look over to my left, and there's this building there. This building was the Electrical Union building. That's the racket I came up in. All of my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my dad, my brother, my uncle, all of them were electricians, and I'm not much of one. The best electrical work I did was with a shovel, digging so they could lay the pipe and then covering it up in the afternoon. It was a hard job, Daniel. And all of a sudden, a rush of memories. Now, I just come back from Mississippi where we had buried my aunt, almost 90 years old. The one we baptized here a few years ago, oldest person I ever baptized. Wonderful experience to see that happen. And it was a joyous funeral. We shared it together. So why would God bust me with that bill? What did that have to do with the price of tomatoes? I started crying. I was very upset, crying in my soul. A rush of memories came. My dad's the baby of the family. His oldest brother, his name was Charles Victor Reynolds Jr. He was a Navy veteran of World War II, served his country in that way. He's a member of the local Sports Hall of Fame, got an opportunity to play professional baseball. He died in 1953. I was born in 1954. He died on my mother's birthday, October 6, 1953, 18 days before my mom and dad got married on the 24th of October. All this is part of the story. You see, my dad just loved his brother. I mean, worship Granny Walton. He was a great baseball player. Every time I go down to the big park to Forsyth, I see all the places my dad said, well, Uncle, he hit a ball there and he hit one there. And it was just, well, my granddad at that time had left my grandmother. He was running around on her. Never shared any of that stuff with y'all, but it's time to be honest about your past and what goes on, not to air dirty laundry, but it's part of the story. He married another woman. And at the time, he was the electrical inspector for the city of Savannah. And he got my uncle a job as an electrician. My uncle really, he wasn't a great electrician. I mean, he went through his apprenticeship, but that wasn't his thing. He was on a job down at a substation, an electrical substation, still down on River Street. He was working on some high voltage stuff there. Well, the union sent several other people to come and work with him. Problem is that those people had not finished their apprenticeship, but yet had been graduated out of the program. So they came to that job unprepared and lacking the knowledge they needed for that job. Several things were supposed to be done. None of that was done correctly, and my uncle lost his life. And he lost his life because of the ignorance of other people. They didn't intend to do any of that, but ignorance. I remember my grandmother talking about this. She always called him Victor Jr. She'd show me pictures of it from a little boy. I can remember seeing those pictures and watching her cry over him. She'd had a lot of heartache in her life because in that period of time, we just had a lot of things going on. My granddaddy had left. My uncle got killed in that way. Mom and dad got married. I was born, and then I had a brother was born. He had spina bifida, and he didn't make it to his second birthday. I had every disease known to man during that time. It was a I'm telling you, the evil one wanted to take out my family. He wanted to take us out. But I realized as I passed by that building, the anger and the unforgiveness that I had for my grandfather. Because after that happened, my grandfather didn't want to make a big deal of it with the union. And so my grandmother, who my uncle was practically supporting at the time, because she was on her own, she received practically nothing after that. My grandfather wanted to keep it quiet because he didn't want to lose his job as the electrical inspector. Are you following me here? All that came to bear on Bull Street. I realized over the past months as my dad, at his advanced years, has been remembering things. A lot of things he can't remember, but he's struggling with dementia right now. He is remembering all sorts, filling in, backfilling details of life that I thank God for it. But there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of anger in that. Well, I was angry with my granddaddy. I was angry with the electrical union and the guy that was over the union at that time. And I realized within me, I'd allowed that to take control of me. I'll tell you how bad it got. You know, I'm a pastor, so I'm always thinking about one day people are going to die. Because I'm thinking I'm going to be the one saying words over them. So I'm always thinking about that. So don't think ill of me that I'm thinking that way about my daddy. I know my daddy, if Jesus tarries in my life, my dad's got an appointment with death, and I'm thinking about his funeral. Do you know I was already planning? I don't know any way to say this, just to be honest with you. You can see the darkness of my soul at times. I was planning to do a drive-by at my dad's funeral on all those hypocrites that would come to his funeral. Now, I ask you, I know some of you kids, you're hearing this about your pastor, and you think, man, golly, he's our pastor. Yeah, because he's got feet of clay. Now, I want you to know, the Lord busted me right there. And he's still in the process of dealing with that. Two things were going on there. I wanted to share this with you today so you'd know about communion, about our celebration. One thing that's going on was my sin. I had a loud anger. And I'm telling you, that anger is in my family. And it's been in my family. And that anger can lead to a lot of things if it's not dealt with. So this past week, I had to get before God and thank God for my life group who prayed over me, who prayed with me. And I confess my sin before the Lord. The other thing, and to forgive those people. I don't want to race ahead in my granddad's life. My granddad came around to see that of his ways, and I believe God really dealt with my granddad before he died. And I thank the Lord for that. But I had not forgiven him until this past week. I had also let the Lord deal with the hurt in my life. See, the hurt isn't sin. Do you hear me? The hurt isn't sin. That's real. That stuff really happened, and it really went down that way. And it was really wrong. And there needs to be righteous indignation about that. But where it tips over and becomes sin is when I take control of it. And I'm telling you, the darkness of my soul, I know that it already happened in my life because I was planning how I was going to deal with these people. The cross means that Jesus deals with people. And we put them in His hands. And we put the hurt that is in our lives, the things that we don't understand. I mean, my grandmother, I can hear her right now weeping over him. All those trips out to the cemetery, and as a little boy, asking God, "What, God, why did Uncle Vic have to die? Why couldn't I have met him?" And like Jason was reading my mind the other night, he said, "I bet you wanted to have a game of catch with him." You better believe it. You better believe it. And I felt robbed. I want you to know today, as we come to the table, that Jesus will cleanse your soul. He will forgive you. I don't know what blackness, what darkness, what evil that is in you today that has just taken over you, what you have allowed to come in between you and Him. Are you harboring something against somebody? Are there divisions? Are you self-centered? For what purpose are you living life? What is it? Life's too short. I want to ask you one specific question. Is there any racism in your life? I want to ask you. Is there division because of that? Or because of economics? Or because of whatever? When God sees us, He sees our soul. Monday morning, head downtown, He brought me in connection with my soul. And He spoke to me. Will you let Him speak to you? Two issues now. Yes, there's the sin in our lives, but there's also the hurt. The sin we ask forgiveness, the hurt we put in His hands and say, Lord, I don't get this. I don't know why this happened in my life, but I'm putting these people, I'm putting this situation in Your hands. It is Yours, but set me free. After Monday night, I was probably about 100 pounds lighter. You know, you get that feeling like you could just fly right out of the place when you can lay it down. So before we come to the table today, James, where are you? We're going to bow our heads. We're going to open the altar. Pastors are going to be here. You want to pray with us? You want to spend some time in the office? You want to sit where you are? I'm asking you, let a man, woman, child, boy, girl examine himself today. Let the Lord speak to you today. I've let you into my kitchen today. I've not gotten religious on you. I've not been manipulative with you or taken advantage of any situation. I've simply told you a story from my own life and my own experience. And I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to celebrating communion today more than any day in a long, long time. Let's pray. Now, Lord, as we open the altar, we ask You to speak to us. Come, Spirit of God. We know You want to renew our soul. Come. Let us feel Your power right now. Lord, as we confess sin, things that stand between us and You, as we release hurt to You, come, Lord. Come. The altar's open. As you consider things in your life, one of the wraps on us as Christians in today's world is that we're not real. We're not transparent. And we're not honest. I'm encouraging you to be honest with God today. It will be amazing what people He will open up to you immediately as soon as you start to mean business with Him. We wait just a few more moments. Look this way, if you will. Guys, y'all come and join me at this time. The Scripture says, on the night in which He was betrayed, Jesus took bread and He broke it. And He said, this is My body, which is given for you. After supper, Scripture says He took the cup. It was the third cup of the evening, the cup of redemption that we celebrate. We'll celebrate the fourth cup in the millennium. But the third cup, that was the business at hand. Redemption of mankind, the forgiveness of sin, His death on the cross in our behalf. He said, this is My blood poured out for the remission of your sin. Today as we come to the table, we celebrate the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. God's built-in renewal for His church. Let a man examine himself before he comes to the table. And then let him come in a worthy manner. Not because he is worthy, but because Jesus has forgiven him and has made him worthy. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we thank You for Your broken body and Your poured out blood in our behalf. Now, Lord, in this moment where the Spirit of God comes and ministers to us and speaks to us, speak to us right now through this communion. In Jesus' name. Rick, this is the broken body of Jesus on your behalf. Jason, Christ's body broken for you. Body of our Lord broken for you, Dane. Blood of Jesus poured out in your behalf. Christ's blood poured out for you. Blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We ask that when you come to the table, and this communion is open for all who believe in Jesus. But you'll receive the bread first. Come and just put your hands out. Open your hands. And we'll place that bread in your hand. It is a gift of His. And we see it acted out right now. We'll have two lines. You can come down the middle and go out this way if you want to spend some more time at the altar in prayer. Knock yourself out. However God speaks to you, come to His table. We'll receive those cards now. There's a basket in the back and two baskets up front. If you have an offering to bring, you can bring it this time. Look this way if you will. Before you leave today, I ask you this question. While you were experiencing communion, did any of you experience something different or special today? Anybody? Anybody? Okay. Yeah, I'd sure like to, if you want, I'd like to hear from you privately about that. I'd like to know. That's another arena of my life that I just kind of polished off at one time. But why wouldn't the Lord come at that time and manifest Himself? Well, I want to pray for you as we and send you out today as you go to be God's ambassadors, to shine where He wants you to shine and be who you're supposed to be. Now, while this word has been on my heart the last several moments, but kindness. I want to encourage you to let your kindness show this week. And don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution. The Lord wants to save this world. You're on the cutting edge. God bless you. Let's pray. Now, Lord, right now, I pray that You will send us out. Lord, as we live under the authority of God our Father, as we share the love of Jesus, and as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, thank You. Let us be Your people in this world and shine Your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.